You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Sabrina Harrison, and we talk about a decision she made about a gift a few years ago. And this gift, this decision to give this gift, actually had a pretty profound impact on her own personal confidence and even changed the direction of her business. So you might want more details about what's coming up in the interview and what I'm talking about, but that's all you get for now. You gotta listen. So let's do it. Welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. Sabrina Harrison, are you ready for a fun chat?
I'm so ready. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm happy you're here. I start all my conversations asking everybody the same repetitive question. What part of the world do you call home?
I live in Westminster, Colorado. And if you're not familiar with Colorado, that is a suburb in the Denver area.
Very cool. Next warm-up question before we get to the topic of the day, although I cheated a little bit on this one with you. How do you feel about Valentine's Day presents?
I think that they should not be compulsory, but personally, with my own relationship, I think that it's really nice to have an opportunity to show that person that means so much to you how special they are, or to decide to spice things up and kind of flip the script. If you've been in a longer relationship, maybe you know what I'm talking about. So I don't love the compulsory nature of it. And I don't think that you should necessarily have to get flowers or chocolate. But I do think that it's an amazing opportunity to show yourself some love. And I do think it's an amazing opportunity if you do have a wonderful partner to show them love too. How
love
do you feel
it.
About it?
They're sort of the same. I have a rebound reaction to like any day that's like, today is the day that you must do this. Like, it's like, you know, but that's just me being me. And then with regard to like Valentine's Day, like I am not a flowers person. And my reason is really dumb, but I feel badly for the flowers.
What about potted flowers?
No, that would be different. That would be different. But when people give cut flowers, especially on Valentine's Day, where they're frozen for a long time because it's the biggest flower day of the year, it's like, hi, here I have something that's going to die. I killed this plant for you. Like, I know that I'm a weirdo with that. That's like totally, like, I don't expect anybody else to. If you come to me and you're like, Amy, that's dumb, I'm like, I know. But nonetheless, go straight to chocolate, drive through.
Nothing
right.
Wrong with the chocolate answer.
Exactly. All right. So in this conversation today, we're going to talk about photography. Specifically, you are a working professional photographer, but a few years ago, and we'll talk about it, you actually hired someone to take pictures of you, which is always a fun thing to be the client in a thing that you are normally a professional. That took you down a path of self-exploration, and I think it even changed some stuff about your business. Are you ready to talk with me about that?
Yeah, let's dive in.
All right, let's do it. Let's back up before we even talk about this photo session. Do you remember how old you were when you first discovered an interest or passion or affection for photography?
Ooh, I think that it's actually in my genes. My grandfather was a professional photographer with a studio.
Okay.
And so I grew up with my dad, who very much got it from him, like, hey, your hips don't bite, everybody get together, that kind of thing. And I have a very well-documented childhood and wedding and everything. So I, and like my siblings are very much into photography. I think it's just something that's all in our blood.
Family business. All right.
And
So then, do you remember what your first camera was?
Ooh, that's a good question. My first camera that was actually mine was a Canon film camera. That's how old I am. When I was in college, I got a new camera for photography classes. And we were still shooting with film, but what we would do then, because it was like cusping on the digital age, was we would develop the film and then scan the film in to Photoshop. And I know you're a photographer too, so you maybe remember
I
this
do.
era.
I do.
And then, and then edit it from there in Photoshop. Yeah.
Yeah, so I started with black and white film and in the dark room, and then definitely went through the phase where we when I was like went back when I was still working for publications, we would shoot color film and then scan it for the newspapers and the magazines. And so yeah, no, I still have buried in my closet somewhere like some of the cassettes and things from the dark room. At one point, so they sold off my school or anti-school, they eventually sold off all their enlargers from the dark room, and I bought one and did nothing with it for like forever, and then finally like gave it to a school nearby. But it was so fun. Dark rooms were fun. Anyway, off track,
Yeah.
but one more silly photo nerd question. If you had to go the rest of your life with only one lens to use forever and ever in all situations, what would it be?
It would be a 35.
That
I
is my choice
love a
too.
35. Yeah.
35-1.4.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
absolutely. Yeah. I've got a razor sharp 35 millimeter, and I personally love being that distance from a client, which is a pretty like personal distance, so that I can give a lot of direction and communicate a lot. I know that like wedding photographers love like a 70 to 120, so that they can kind of get bird's eye view and more like editorial candids. But when I'm working with a client, it's like I'm very much helping them with every single detail, so I want to be able to be close to them.
Yeah, and I no longer do client work. So for me, the 35, you get a bit of the perspective, you know. Not that I wouldn't also, if I was going on safari, be like, please send me with a 400. Okay, so
Yes.
off that topic. All right, so
15
very
grand
good.
later.
I would rent it. I would rent it. I would rent it. I would borrow it. I would hit up anybody who I knew and be like, "Let me take yours. I'll buy it if I break it." So for your husband's 40th birthday, this is the event that kicked off this discussion. You made a decision that you were going to give him some photos of you as a present. Tell us about where the idea for this present came from. Like, so put yourself before this, and what was the thought process going into through your mind? Like, I'm gonna give him some photos of me.
So I was already working as a photographer. I was taking pictures of like babies and seniors and pregnant women and families and just anything that came my way. So photography was already like kind of top of mind, but I was more like behind the lens. And so I wasn't very well documented at that moment in time. And I felt like it was a very personal present. Like anyone could give him a new like dress shirt or a mug or whatever. I'm literally the only person that could give him this gift of me. And so I love that that was the case, that I was like, it was a unique thing that only I could do for him. And I've had a chance to like really think about like that moment in time. And I found a Rumi quote that I actually think really encapsulates like my feeling about it. Rumi said, "As you walk on the way appears. Clarity does not come before action, it comes from action."
Oh,
And
yeah.
yeah, so I
Yeah.
like I had a knowing that I was like ready to reclaim my body. I was postpartum, and you know, going through that whole journey with children and nursing and like having your body not be your own. I was just like kind of freshly on the other side of weaning my second child. And so I was ready to take a leap into the unknown.
Yeah.
And I was ready to like really show my husband how much I loved him. But the clarity actually came from the doing. The clarity, I didn't have a ton of clarity when I did it. Does that make
Okay.
sense?
Well, for me, it does, but I'm a person who's I feel like that's one of the messages that I shout from my little perch here, isolated in my cocoon of production. When people ask me about starting something new, people seem to always really want to have a conclusion and have it be perfect and know that it's going to work before they start.
And I just kind of say, I'm like, I don't even think that's possible. I say, you've got to create enough of it and get it further out there to even know. Like it doesn't happen until you do it. You don't know. You can, read about, walking or running or doing things and study it forever and ever, but you won't know what it's like to do it until you try.
Absolutely.
And so I think that that's, and it is a mindset shift and an awareness. And Rumi says it so nicely and poetically, like it's hard to do stuff. I'm sure it's like, I don't know what's going to happen if I jump off this cliff. I don't know if the water is cold, but you won't know like until you do it. And that's where the clarity comes from. You won't even know by watching other people. So somebody jumps off the cliff in front of you, that's reassuring that they make it, right?
Right,
But if
there are
they
no rocks
say,
there.
right, it's reassuring. But they might be like, hey, the water is cold. And you'd be like, all right, I understand that. I know what that is. No, you don't. You don't know what it feels like because you're going to jump in and you're going to be like, oh, that's what you meant when you said cold. Now I know what you mean. I feel that it's cold. Now I understand. And so I agree with you. I agree with Rumi. I think that's fantastic. All right. So you have this idea. You're going to give your husband these photographs. It's a very specific type of photos that you're giving him, which is boudoir photos. That's the idea of the gift, right? So I want to get everybody in alignment. You, me, everybody listening and watching. Explain, like generally speaking, what does this mean as a style of photography? Like, what are we talking about?
It's generally in lingerie or some like version of undress. Some of my clients choose to be in lingerie only. Some of them do not even choose to be in lingerie. Maybe they're in pajamas or they're like taking off a dress or they're in a jersey or something like that. But it's some form of undress. And then some of my clients take that all the way to nude. And some don't.
And what did you do?
I undressed like from a dress into lingerie, and then I did some implied nudity where it looks like you're naked, but you can't actually see that you're naked.
There. Okay. All right. So that's the concept. That's the concept behind the gift. So if I understand it correctly, you did not, did you take these photos of yourself or you hired somebody? You were trusting another creator to take these photos of you.
Yeah, I had a friend that I asked to help me, and we rented a hotel room. And that's
Okay.
how we decided to do it. And then I kind of like had an idea for some of the poses that I thought would be sexy. And then we kind of just like rolled with it and kind of vogued through that pose flow. And they also had some ideas. So I think I probably had a greater knowledge of what I was getting myself into than most of my clients do when they begin the journey, just because I had done some research and I knew what it was like to be on the other side of the lens and how I might pose as opposed to just being like the subject who is being posed. Does that make sense?
It does. So you reflected earlier. I think there's a couple of interesting things about the timing of this. You said you were postpartum. You had two kids. Is that was your family complete at that time, or did you go on to have more kids?
Yeah,
Okay.
my
So
family.
for people who are listening who have not had children, the first kid changes your body, not as much as a second kid. I will say from experience, that is the bigger. And I think so. That is a thing that I was first led into by a trainer that I worked with at the time. They were like, get ready. This is the bigger shift in your body. It's a massive adjustment, which everybody says. And so that is an interesting time to be thinking about it. The other thing is that I would love to hear, you mentioned that you were not really, because you were the woman in the family, but also the photographer, you were not really documented very well in like sort of the memory books of your family, which is a classic thing, flip through an album, and it's like, where is insert the family photographer? They're behind the camera, right? They're not in all the pictures. What was it like to, in your mind, in your mental talk, in the decision process, like, where were you in this in choosing to hire somebody else and be like, I want to be in these pictures? Like, what did that feel like?
It was super scary. I was very nervous about it because you're ceding control, and photographers notoriously love to be in control of the image and the composition and how they're being portrayed and everything. So it's definitely not as comfortable as being on the other side of the lens for me. But for me, that was a very important part of it because I really wanted to truly have empathy for how my clients would feel. They don't know how it's looking on the other side of the
Yes.
lens, and they have to trust the process.
Yeah. And I mean, we talked about the olden days before digital cameras. Today, you can chimp a little bit and see the image previews and get an idea of what they're looking like. But back in the olden days, in the 1900s, when I was in school, I love that it's like a totally different number for that. I love it's my new favorite joke. I'm like, when I was in college in the 1900s, there was no preview, right? It was a delay, and so you really had to trust. But now you can do it a little bit. But I think that that crosses over industries. People normally say one of the most famous is doctors make terrible patients. It's like to be on the other side, something that you are a master of, and usually, you're very familiar with it. It's a leap to hand the creative control or the professional job over to somebody else and be the client. You knew the person. This is a friend that you were working with. So you were comfortable.
I was comfortable, and I think that that's part of it, and that's definitely part that I've built into my process. Like, I insist on having a meeting with people before they're taking their clothes off so that we can get more comfortable. Because I think if someone was just like, "Hey, come over to my studio and take your clothes off," I'd be like, "Okay, no thanks."
Well, and to put, but to put, I don't know if you've ever done commercial work. People who work like in, catalog work and models, they have no, like, it's like it is, they are there. They will change their clothes right in front of you. There are people who would be, yeah, that's normal. Totally fine. Here's my, like, so yeah.
Yeah, and working with models after that, I they're definitely more at home in
Yeah.
their bodies in that regard.
Yeah, no, and I like so, and I call the tropics home, Miami, Florida. So like, people are very comfortable being, in a state of semi-undressed. So it does depend on where you are, but mostly speaking, absolutely, like walking in and being like, "Hi, get naked." That would be a rapid introduction. So with you knew this person, you had a concept of what you wanted to do. Am I understanding correctly that even though this was a gift for your husband, it was absolutely something that you were also thinking about for your photo business? So you were doing this was the you were experiencing it with the idea of adding this to the things that you were going to offer right from the start.
No,
Okay.
I was just going into it as the experience, and it was coming out of the experience and actually seeing the photos that I let it like wash over me. And I was like, oh, hey, I feel so much better about myself. Like, this is literally looking at myself through a kinder lens than I do maybe in the mirror. And I really wanted to try to create that for other people. It was coming out of it, going into it, that was not the intention. I was just.
Very cool. All right. So very cool. So what you shared with me on the intake form that we've talked about offline between the two of us, that with time you didn't realize it when you started this process, but you say that with time and perspective, you realize that this gift that you were giving your husband was actually for you. And so you started to talk a little bit about how it changed your concept. Tell us more about what that means to you.
I was able to just set down some like mental baggage that I had been carrying around in my brain for a really long time. And I think that this is especially important postpartum because you have to learn how to love your body all over again. And it has new features at that point.
New bonus features.
Bonus features, yeah. And so I like it was very, very transformational for me. I felt more capable, I felt more confident, and I felt like I was lovable.
All right, and all of that from the photos. Okay, so that's really interesting because let's talk about how photos and images, they sometimes have a very direct connection to self-concept, right?
Absolutely.
Like, so, which is a weird thing to kind of think about because I don't think that, most of the time you just think of it, it's just a picture. Like, what, don't make too much of it, right? It's just a picture. But Like going back to, and I am pulling out a psychology 101 reference that could be completely wrong and people can tell me, but there's a concept of self-concept where it's like, this is what I think of myself. And there's another one, which is that this is how I think that other people see me and judge me. Those are two ideas of the same thing. But with photos, right, when somebody hands you a picture of yourself or you see a picture of yourself in a frame or in an album, those two things come crashing together. Like, so if you have a concept that doesn't match the photo, that can be great. Like, oh, look how great I am. Or it could be like, oh my gosh, I did not realize that that is what I show it looked like in the camera. So what were, did you have concerns when you started this? Like you knew you were postpartum, you knew you wanted to give your husband this, but did you have concerns and fears as you went into this project? And what did those look like and feel like?
My concerns were like the common concerns that I hear all the time. I am like, my belly is not my favorite part of my body, especially postpartum. I had like some new stretch marks. And so I was very concerned about how those were going to come across the camera. And they just didn't feel like they belonged to me. And I do think that most people have some level of dysmorphia, where they don't actually see themselves as other people see themselves. I think that boudoir can be really helpful in healing in that it helps you actually see it as it exists and not as like it exists when you make a huge deal of it in the mirror when you're being self-critical and picking yourself apart. Like you make it a much bigger deal than it actually is. And when we're looking at ourselves and our belly and we're maybe like pushing it out or we're like focusing on the things that we don't like about it, and you're not seeing it in space or with posing. So like my stretch marks like largely did not even show up because of the way that the light hit my body. And I find that that's true with my clients too, that like sometimes light will pick something up and sometimes it doesn't. And so it's like, okay, so in reality, it's not an obvious thing to other people like it is to me when I'm really super focusing on it. And when I move my body in different ways, maybe I elongate my torso, maybe you're seeing me from the back and I've turned my head back to look at you, like it's not an obvious thing to other people. And it's not something that really draws your focus as another person. It just does as the subject. And so when I saw it, I was like, oh, like that's just part of me. It's not nearly as big of a deal as I thought it was, or like as gross as I believed it was beforehand. Does that make sense?
I think so. I mean, I think that I would say that, you know, if you're in the dressing room of, you know, Bloomingdale's or Macy's or whatever, and you're looking at your outfit in the mirror, you're looking for, you know, sort of imperfections. Like, does it fit? Like, where doesn't it fit? And then, and so what you're saying is that, I'm going to rephrase it. You tell me if I get it correct, if I understand, and put it in my own words, you were concerned that the things that you saw as imperfection and not good enough were going to show up in the pictures that you were going to give to your husband. And that was, you know, facing that, like, I don't want to highlight my flaws. I want to, you know, I want it to be a pretty picture. And that's a, you know, that's a definitely something, you know, it's a concept that's beaten into us in most families forever. It's like our parents are like, make sure you smile for the school photo, you know, take a good picture, you know, all of those things. So I think that that's a reasonable thing. Okay. Did you have any concerns about what the photographer who you were working with would think of you or what they would say or judge you during the process, or any sneaky things about, you know, what my husband think when he sees these photos?
So I was comforted by the idea that like, okay, well, if I feel good, my husband is probably going to love these because he loves me. And it's nothing he hasn't seen before, right?
Okay. All right.
But I did feel slightly concerned about being judged by the photographer for just not having like a body that meets the beauty standard. But that was very quickly kind of washed away just through the experience and getting more comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that is, you know, that there's layers of that that you can unpack, because most of us are not runway models who are going to show up in the photos like that. But that doesn't alleviate the pressure that when you put yourself in that situation, it's like, who am I to do this and go through this? So I think that's a good thing to be aware of, and a wonderful thing about it. Okay, so you shared that this process for you, the process of having these photos taken of you in the context of giving them as a gift, unearthed some of your own confidence issues, which is interesting to talk to you about it today, because you've already done all the work. So it's like going back and thinking about it then. For me, it's easy to imagine, you know, the confidence issues, right? And we like when we look good in photos. We may not like when somebody catches us as in a candid photo and we don't look great. Sometimes we can be surprised by how we show up in reflections and in photos, especially with this thing called age. Talk a little bit more about what in the confidence side uncovered as part of the process. What did that feel like for you?
I think that I had some limiting beliefs that I thought I had put to bed. But really, I just had not dealt with them for
Sort of
like a long
bypass that.
time. Right,
Yeah.
exactly. I maybe like shoved them under the carpet instead of like actually dealing with them. And my lack of confidence came from when I was a little girl. I have two like beautiful skinny sisters, and I definitely felt like I was like less worthy because I was a curvy girl. And you know, I'll never forget in third grade, my mom was like, basically, you can't have dessert because you don't need it. But she like continued to buy it for my siblings. So there was this like othering that happened from a pretty young age. And so when I was facing the idea of like being like fairly unclothed in photographs, all of those things came back, like kind of crashing back that, you know, I didn't have a runway body. I had a postpartum body, and like maybe that body was not as good as other bodies, or not lovable, or not pretty. And like when I saw the photos after going through like how nervous I was to take them and how I was worried about being judged, I really just for the first time, like I felt like I could let go of so much of that was just a story I was telling myself.
So there's a lot that you touched in there. The pressure of beauty concepts within your family and the worthiness. So yeah, no, the worthiness of dessert. Everybody gets to eat dessert. You can eat dessert for breakfast. It doesn't make you a good person or not, but I do think that that's a part of culture that is, you know, is still around to this day. It has not gone away. We do still very much prioritize and value and highlight people who look a very specific way. And it's very easy for people to say, oh, if I don't look like that, I don't get to have this great fun experience. And that's unfortunate, because most of us do not look like that, and it gets in the way of living your very real life.
Or I'm going to torture myself through this experience. Like, you still have to go to the pool party, but you're going to like feel horrible through
Yeah.
the experience.
Or
And you
people
know
don't,
that,
people opt out. They drop their kids
right.
off for the pool party because they don't want to be seen in a swimsuit. They don't participate in the photos. You know, we all have these in our family. The person who's not ever in the group photo or doesn't hang the photos because they don't like to see themselves in their own house. And yeah, it's, you know, those things are all there. Did it surprise you that you were nervous to do this, seeing as it was your profession, like to turn the lens? Were you surprised by how nervous you got to go through it?
No, because it was it was still a new level for me.
Okay.
Like, I hadn't shot any boudoir yet. I had just been doing other kinds of photography. And so I hadn't done any modeling yet. I'm a lot less nervous now to get in front of the lens if I have a new outfit for my client closet to show off. Or, like, for example, right now, my husband and I have been practicing like Santa Claus, like a fireman's carry with a woman
Okay.
sitting up in the air. With me and like kind of like a little Santa baby, like baby doll, like a red thing that has like white on the edges, like a little like Santa uniform. And like I'm much less nervous to do that and like hit it with a timer because I practice so much and I have gotten back in front of the lens over and over again. But it does still like there is a twinge that's like, and these are on the internet.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah. And everything has changed like so, but there is also there's a new phenomenon with all the social media stuff and everything is that there's a secondary judgment where people make an assumption often and a judgment about people who do have public personalities and do put themselves out for those things. And some people would describe it as cringy, and other people are like, ah, it's my job. It's like, just take it for what it is. So it's a whole other level of those things. All right. So you mentioned this a second ago, you started it, but I want you to walk me through what your experience was. You were nervous to do it, you were unsure of it. It uncovered some of these confidence issues. Walk us through your experience of seeing the photos of you for the first time.
When I saw the photos of me for the first time, I felt great relief that they didn't look terrible like I was worried they would.
Okay.
And then I just actually let them wash over me. And I felt really sexy. I felt really good. And all of those like previous concepts of having like an unlovable or an unworthy body, I was like, I can put that down because I feel really good about myself.
That is fantastic. All right. So, was there ever a time in any part of this process, like that you ran the scenario in your head? You're like, I can do this, and then I can maybe not even give them to my husband.
No, once I saw them, I was like, oh, if I'm happy with them, like he's going to be thrilled.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Okay. So, obviously, having boudoir photos taken of yourself is not the only way to face the issues of body confidence and things like that, but it is definitely one way to do it.
For sure.
Definitely. So, you've mentioned this throughout this, like that now you have turned around and this is something that you offer as a product and a process that you take clients through. Connect the dots here for how that actually happened, how you went from being somebody who was like, I'm going to try this for myself. All the way through for like, this is something I'm going to do as a part of my business for other people.
So when I saw the photos and I kind of let myself level up from that experience, I sat with it and I gave them to my husband. He was thrilled. And he was super supportive. And then it took me like a couple weeks to say like, well, how could I offer this to other women? Because it was so meaningful to me and it did really help me transform and like believe myself and like I could do scary things and I was okay on the other side. And I did feel really good and sexy and like really in my body. Like I think that there is a somatic connection where you're like, okay, I can live here. And so then I reached out to friends and I was like, hey, do you mind if I could I work out like a pose flow and give you a couple photos to like figure out what I'm doing? And then working through the process with them, I was like, okay, yeah, I want to market this. I want to have this be part of my business. And that's when I niched down. So it was probably like 3 weeks or a month from then. And then probably like 3 more months before I was like, okay, I'm going to try to figure out this with models and friends. And then by August of that next year, I had my first paying client.
Very, very nice. I mean, it's so interesting to think about this sort of niche within photography, right? Because, you take pictures of babies. Nobody's worried about whether or not to show the little fat rolls. Like we love
Oh, we
it.
love the
We love
roles
it,
on
right? We
babies.
love
It's
it.
so life-affirming.
Right, and you take pet photos and family photos. Like nobody's worried about, the goofy face of the animal because it's the way we see them. But when it comes to like wedding photos, it's a lot of concern that we want it to look, the way we want it to look. Family photos, group photos, the family fight, everybody getting ready. You will wear this shirt and you will be happy about it. That's like a comedy skit that plays out in every single family. But then this is a very, this is a concept that you have leaned heavily into. This is there's an empowerment and an identity component of this that is part of it's more than just the pictures.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I do think that boudoir is throwing yourself into the deep end. So I
Yeah.
think that,
Maybe start
it's,
with a headshot.
well, maybe, or like I do offer my clients like a lot of different ways to kind of help themselves with self-confidence and loving themselves before we get to the photo shoot. So if they mention that they feel like very self-critical, I'll talk about mirror work with them. Like, can we get to the place where we see something that we love? Can we
Okay.
get to neutral on the things that we pick on a lot? Like,
Yeah.
could you thank your belly for digesting your food? Could you
Right.
thank it for holding your babies and keeping them safe? And like, then could we bridge to feeling more neutral about it? I have a body, I have a belly. It is okay.
Yeah.
And then we can get to, more positive. But I find if people are just saying affirmations like, I have a beautiful body, and they legit cannot list things when I ask them, what do you love about your body? They're just not going to believe it. Your subconscious is going to just like, whoop. Don't believe that. That's way too far. This is a bridge too far. And so I think these little baby steps can help just with the daily mirror work and also asking in affirmations instead. I call them ask-formations instead of affirmations. So like, why am I so beautiful and unique?
Right.
Why am I the person to give this message? Why am I the person to give this gift? Because then your body and your brain starts looking for the answer instead of just kicking it out like, no, I'm not beautiful. I don't believe that. I'm just not gonna. And then you feel diminished by it. If you're like, I am hot and you don't believe that you're hot, then
Yeah.
you're like, oh, it just brings it back again. But if you ask yourself, why am I so beautiful and special? Then your brain's like, well, why?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
There's,
because they love
yeah.
my hair or whatever, you know?
Right. No, I love that. That is fantastic. All right. So, in a minute, we're going to do the final questions, but you have the people who are watching on YouTube, you can see that it's Sabrina Harrison Photography, but tell the audience what you do and how they can find you online after they listen or watch this interview.
I am a boudoir retreat and branding photographer. I like to say I love to make women feel good with or without their clothes on. And you can find me at Sabrina Harrison Photography. That is my website. That is my Instagram handle. That is my Facebook. It's very easy. And I would love to help you level up. I would love to help you love yourself.
Fantastic. You have a special offer for the audience, which is a confidence workshop called Glow Up to Show Up. And so there normally that's $47, but it'll be free for the audience. There's a link in the show notes where you're listening or watching the show. The easiest way for everybody who's in the audience to get those links is to subscribe to the Imperfect Adulting email community because then you don't have to dig through the show notes. It comes straight into your inbox and you can just click it. You don't have to even listen to all the episodes or watch them because I send the recap once a week. So I always share with people that that is the easiest way to do that. Thank you so much, Sabrina, for that very special offer. As we were going through this, I was thinking that there's another element of this that is coming with all the people who are doing AI modifications of photos. Like you could do, tell your friend Mr. ChatGPT or, hey, make boudoir photography of me that's like not even me. It's a whole other element, but then it wouldn't actually be you. That's a conversation for another day, not for today. We're going to go straight into the final questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Do you like to travel? And if you do, what website do you use to find your best deals on airplane tickets?
Ooh, I do love to travel. I
He's
will
like, she's
do
like,
an
random
in.
question, Amy.
Yeah, I don't love airplanes, but I love being other places.
Okay.
I generally do like an incognito Google search so that it doesn't have my metadata, and then I'll just kind of scroll through and see who has the best offer.
Oh, so you do the incognito so it doesn't know. That's a good tip, because I have learned that I have learned that my search, the pricing changes when I log in with my frequent flyer miles. It's like, oh, now here's your real pricing. Except not really, because once you book it, then we're going to actually charge you for your seat. But anyway, like, air travel is annoying in 2025. All right, next question. Do you shop online? And if so, what's something you bought recently that you're pretty happy with the purchase?
I do shop online, and something that I bought recently because my husband's birthday is coming up again, is a set from Thistle Inspire. It has flames on it, and I love that lingerie company. It's like very adjustable and it's handmade and it's women-owned.
And it's Thistle Inspire.
Thistle Inspire, yeah,
Thistle
definitely recommend.
Inspire. All right. I've never heard of it. Totally going to check it out. All right. If I invited you over to my house for movie night, which would be a long drive because you're in Colorado and I'm in Florida, but let's go with it. But you get to pick the movie that we're going to watch. Putting you on the spot, what's the movie that you'd pick?
This time of year,
Just
I would
right now, like
pick,
today, like if it was
yeah,
today, what would it be?
I would totally pick some like Hallmark Christmas trash because it's
Okay.
so low stakes. And it's literally like the same house every time, like shoot in the same house. Like as a photographer, you notice the sets and stuff. Yeah, so I would definitely pick one of those.
Hallmark holiday movie. That's a wonderful thing. That's it. Sabrina Harrison, thank you so much for being a wonderful guest today on the show.
Thank you so much, Amy. I really appreciate being here and having the chance to tell my story.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.